Lovely. Look at that. Proverbs, the words we use. I'm just going to show how useless I am. I don't think that was even supposed to be the title. It was something like that. But Proverbs, the words we use. That's the way it became when I was working this stuff out. So what I'm going to do is that there are four little sections from Proverbs that I'm going to read through. And they are, a lot of it is to do with your tongue, the words you use, the noises you make when you're communicating with people. And there's a load more proverbs about speech than there are about anything else. So somebody must have thought it was important to write it down in the first place, but also to have it included in the Bible that we have today. So four sets of verses, they won't take very long to read. And then part one, so what does that all mean? And part two, what would Jesus do? So that's what we're going to do. Four sets of verses. What does that all mean? What would Jesus do? Simple. I think there's a song at the end, and then we all get to have a cup of tea. Perfect. So here we go. Proverbs 10, 81 to 21 from the NIV. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense. Now, it may well be with the Proverbs that there's one that strikes you. When I'm talking about the so what does it all mean, I've chosen one verse from this little section and one verse from the next three sections. It may well be that you wish I'd spoken about one of the other verses. Well, that's all right. You cling on to that one and let that one make some sense in your life. So I'll read it again because it's always good hearing the same thing twice. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense. Right, next one. I'll read it through twice again. Through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked it is destroyed. Whoever derides their neighbor has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. I'll read it again. Through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed. Whoever derides their neighbor has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. Number three. So there's four of these. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a ruling rightly given. Like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is the rebuke of a wise judge to a listening ear. Like a snow-cooled drink at harvest time is a trustworthy messenger to the one who sends him. He refreshes the spirit of his master. Like clouds and wind without rain is one who boasts of gifts never given. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. I'll go for it again. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a ruling rightly given. Like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is the rebuke of a wise judge to a listening ear. Like a snow-cooled drink at harvest time is a trustworthy messenger to the one who sends him. He refreshes the spirit of his master. Like clouds and wind without rain is one who boasts of gifts never given. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. So, last one. Such an odd start. Such an odd start to this. like one who grabs a stray dog by the ears. Brilliant. That's an image, isn't it? Like one who grabs a stray dog by the ears is someone who rushes into a quarrel not their own. Like a maniac, love it. Like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbor and says, "I was only joking." Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. I'll read it again. Like one who grabs a stray dog by the ears is someone who rushes into a quarrel not their own. Like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbor and says, "I was only joking." Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. So, like I said, part one and part two. It's going to be part one. So what does that all mean? And no, I don't want to be so arrogant, Joe. And it all means this. But I've just got a few little thoughts about what a few of those verses might mean and could mean to me. And so I hope could mean to you. So part one, what does that all mean? Part two, what would Jesus do? Here we go. So I've chosen, and I've only realized this just as I was looking at what I printed out. I've got these in Proverbs order. So 10, 11, 25, 26. Annoyingly, I've done them in a funny order, but never mind. So Proverbs 11, 12, that was from the second little set. Whoever derides their neighbor has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. Derides their neighbor. Now, I wonder whether that really means talking about people behind their backs. So here we go. Now, some of you are of an age. You will totally know what Thumper says. And Thumper says, if you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. There we go. That's the whole sermon. Thank you very much. If you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. He's just taken the mickey out of Bambi for falling over and not speaking properly. And Mum says, Thumper. And Thumper says, it's something about, what did your father tell you this morning? If you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. Bambi's a horrible film. Unbelievable. It's just so many little kids crying about, no spoilers, the mum dies. But if you can't say something nice, don't say something at all. So that's the words of Thumper, right? So from the words of Thumper, if you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. Secondly, in the words of me, the way you speak about someone when they're not there, so if you speak about someone behind their back, so if I were to speak to you about somebody else, that shows others how you speak about them. Because as soon as you've drifted away from that person that you're confiding in, they pretty much know that is how you're going to speak about them when you clear off as well. And I hope there's a lot of words going around there. The way you speak about someone when they're not there shows others how you speak about them. If you are friends with someone or you work for someone, and the first thing they do when they come to speak to you is they talk about other people and they're kind of putting them down, just be guaranteed that's how they speak about you when you're not there. And if you find yourself deriding your neighbor, when they find out, or the person who you're talking to, will know that's probably how you speak about them as soon as they've walked off. So Proverbs 11:12, whoever derides their neighbor has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. Firstly, in the words of Thumper, if you can say something nice, don't say nothing at all. And in the words of me, the way you speak about someone when they're not there shows others how you speak about them. Second one. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. So whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. Now, there's a little bit of worldly wisdom that would say that isn't actually quite true. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander becomes president. Now, I'm not saying anything about our current political situation. I'm saying this. Firstly, in the words of Lenin, a lie told often enough becomes the truth. Now, I would like us to think that we're better than that. But whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. And this is me. I really like this. Secondly, in the words of me, your words betray your heart. No one can see what you think. All people have got, there's only two things really. It's what you communicate and what you do. Now, people who can't speak must be able to show love to other people by the things that they do. But most of us are fortunate enough that we can do both. But your words betray your heart. And there's all sorts of people in the public eye who've had to apologize for things that they've said. Oh, I didn't really mean it. I was taken out of context. But you said it. And your heart must have that in there for it to be able to come out. So if you're apologizing for saying something, that's great. Well done. But your words betray your heart. And you only know about me by the things that I do and the things that I say. And folks who are close to me here will know me by the things that I do. And folks that don't know me as well will only know me by the things that I say. And whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool, right? So your words betray your heart. If you are truthful, the verse implies that you are not foolish. If your words are nonsense, it implies something else. Number three. And I will come back to these. I've got these, the four little things that come out of these four bits. I'll do them at the end because there's like a bit of a summary. And it may well be that there's one or two or three or even four of them that you'd like to take away with you. And I'll show you what Jesus would have said about this sort of stuff. Or I reckon I've found some bits and pieces in the Bible that show what Jesus did about this sort of stuff in part two. I had to choose this one because it's got maniac in the word. I like it very much. Like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbor and says, I was only joking. This is from the NHS. I'll read it because it's quite long. Firstly, in the words of some NHS research, banter is the playful and friendly exchange of teasing remarks between consenting persons of equal status or position. All the parties participating in the banter, including those on the receiving end, should be doing so willingly. They should also be relative peers in terms of power and influence. It's very corrosive if someone senior is teasing someone junior. It may be that banter is intended with genuine humor and goodwill, but it's all too easy for it to stray into harassment or discrimination. Now, just a little story about the science department at my previous school. There was two periods while I was at my last school where the science department was absolutely fabulous. And the latter version of that probably lasted about 5-6 years before some key people left and all that sort of stuff. But we got on so well that there was, funnily enough, Mickey taking and banter that happened. And I just thought, what happens when kids hear that through the door or through the open door sometimes, and they hear adults being horrible to each other? Now, we understood it. We got it. But who's to know what they were perceiving by that? Because for some of those folks, When they hear two grown-ups being horrible to each other, it may be the people that they live with and the people that they live with are genuinely being horrible to each other. Now, this isn't a rule for life, I don't think, but it became a rule at school. No banter. Too many kids will think we're bullying each other. Now, I'm not saying that's a rule for life, but it was a rule for the science department at my last school. Because the perception of the children were that there are grown-ups arguing with each other and taking the mick out of each other. That's horrible. Because when that happens at home, somebody gets hurt. So like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbour and says, "I was only joking." And if banter isn't an equal exchange, and someone is definitely being picked on, there's a recipient and a disher-outer, then something might be a little bit awry. So, like a maniac, don't be a maniac. And then the fourth one. Like a snow-cooled drink at harvest time is a trustworthy messenger to the one who sends him. Now, this is another bit of NHS bits and pieces. It's a bit more, there's a bit of an undercurrent here of if you want your business to be better, then do this. But I think actually, if you want people in your life to be happier, positive messages at work can take many forms and are central to the well-being of an employee. When an employee feels recognised and appreciated, they are likely to contribute more to their company and work for their current employer for longer periods. Positive messaging can inspire employees to work more efficiently, the company to build a stronger connection with workers, and to instill purpose and value within the organisation. The more a company positively communicates with its workers, the more likely the workers are to reflect the values the company embodies. Lovely. Or, me, talk about people behind their backs. Positively. What a massive change that would be. If you spoke about people behind their backs and told other people what a fabulous person that is. If you stuck up for people behind their backs. If someone is having a go at somebody, spin it so that you are the person who is delivering positive messages. And the person who is being denigrated is being lifted up by whatever you say. Thirdly, in the words of Alison, do sneaky praise. Now, she took this idea of talking about people behind their backs, and she said at her work, she makes sure that they are talking about children behind their backs so they can hear. So if a kid has done a wonderful bit of work, you could go and say, "That's a wonderful bit of work." Or you could say, "Do you know what? Jasmine has done a really wonderful bit of work," to someone else so that Jasmine can hear. I don't know why I suddenly thought the Jasmine, but there we go. It was the name of a kid at school. It wasn't anybody else from here. But being sneaky about your praise. So who isn't here? Hannes isn't here. I don't even know if Hannes is on Zoom, right? But it doesn't matter, because that would fulfill Alison's bit. Hannes has been on the leadership team for a little while now, and he is stunningly practical. And absolutely, if you give Hannes an issue or a problem, he sees right through to the core of the whole thing, and he won't just say, "We should do this." He says, "I'll do that." Now, that might have been me talking about people behind Hannes's back, or it might have been that he's actually on Zoom. Oh, he's not. I could have been doing sneaky praise at the same time. But talking about people positively behind their backs, but also talking about people positively so they can have a little sneaky listen and know that you are being a positive, positive person. All the way through this, whether we like it or not, we represent to loads of people that we know what Jesus would do. So if we are positive, if we build people up rather than knock them down, we are like a snow-cooled drink at harvest time. We are like, it was really warm the other day, wasn't it? Was it Thursday? It was really, really lovely. Got back home, lemonade, whack, amazing. Like a snow-cooled, okay, it was out of the fridge. Like a snow-cooled drink at harvest time is a trustworthy messenger to the one who sends him. Fine. What messages could we give to people, sneakily or otherwise, that build them up like a snow-cooled drink. Part one, there we go. So part two. Joe, please. Thank you. So here we go. Whoever derides their neighbour has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. So I had, the way you speak about someone when they're not there shows others how you speak about them. Now, gosh, if you look for find ways of Jesus speaking about other people, it's really hard to find. I'll talk about something in a minute, but if you look for things where Jesus has said stuff about other people, it's really difficult to find. What does that tell you? So I kind of found this. This is Jesus talking about Simon. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Here is what I tell you. Can you imagine this just out of nowhere? Just this out of absolutely nowhere. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Here is what I tell you. You are Peter. Now, Peter means a whole load of stuff to folk now. It's just a name, isn't it? You are rocky. On this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell will not be strong enough to destroy it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What you lock on earth will be locked in heaven. What you unlock on earth will be unlocked in heaven. Whoa! Out of nowhere. Simon, blessed are you. I mean, that would have been enough. I think by this stage, Simon already knew that Jesus was something very, very special. Blessed are you, Simon. Oh, okay. Here is what I tell you. Here is what I tell you. You're rocky. You are rock solid. And on this rock I will build my church. Whoa. Don't deride your neighbor. It's very difficult to find Jesus deriding anybody. I'll talk about it in a second. It's very difficult to find Jesus deriding anybody. That should tell us something. But when he talks to people in this sort of way, he's ladling on the praise. Absolutely amazing. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. So, in the words of me, your words betray your heart. Well, in the words of Jesus, you have heard what it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. We've got to believe, haven't we, that Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus just goes for the truth. And whatever the ins and outs of your particular personal faith is, whatever you believe and don't believe, we all know that if everybody did this, the world would be better. We know that if everybody went the extra mile, we know that if everybody didn't resist an evil person, you turn the right cheek, all that kind of stuff, we know in our heart of hearts the world would work. So whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. Funnily enough, there aren't any examples of Jesus doing that, but there are examples of him telling the truth. And his words betrays his heart. His words betray his heart. Like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbor and says, I was only joking. So in the words of me, no banter, too many kids think we're bullying each other. Please, again, that's not a rule for life, but it was a rule for the science department a few years ago. In the words of Jesus, all you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Now, there's a lot to unpack in that sentence. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Wow, that's big. And it's Jesus, I guess, just making a point, encouraging you to think about the fact, if the answer is yes, say yes. If the answer is no, say no. Don't have to say something that at the end of the day, you then have to say, oh, sorry, mate, I was only joking. Jesus says all you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Now, this one is a bit of a stretch, okay? Please bear with me. It's a bit of a stretch. I acknowledge it. It's a bit of a stretch. Like a snow-cooled drink at harvest time is a trustworthy messenger to the one who sends him. In the words of Alison, do sneaky praise. Here's the stretch. In the words of Jesus, what I'm about to tell you is true. That poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these other people gave a lot because they are rich. But even though she is poor, she put in everything. That's how I've always read it. How about if it was like this? What I'm about to tell you is true. That poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these other people gave a lot because they are rich. But even though she is poor, she put in everything. I know it's a stretch. But how come if she'd heard? Wouldn't that be amazing? Jesus was a name at this point. Jesus was revered at this point. For her to hear him say that would have been mind-altering for her. So just, I know it's a stretch, and I know it doesn't say that in the Bible, but these words, just imagine if she had heard. Okay, part one, part two. Ooh, part three. Part three. Hold on. That's what it's called. Part three. Hold on. Jesus was sometimes pretty harsh. So Jesus referred to the Pharisees as blind guides. He called a group of Pharisees a brood of vipers. He called Herod a fox. He called many religious leaders hypocrites. Once he called them sons of hell, and their followers twice the sons of hell. I'm sorry, I can't help you with that. I'm not Jesus-y enough to know when it's okay to talk about people in this way. I'm going to try and stick with this. But I must say, Pharisees, religious, he only says these things to people who blimmin' should have known better. It's almost like he's going up in the chain of command. He's certainly never putting anybody down who is his equal. He's certainly never putting anybody down who is lower than him. And he's only ever having a go at the people who should have known better. But I'm really sorry. I can't really help you with those bits because I don't think I'm Jesus-y enough. People say, don't hate the sinner, hate the sin. I feel like I've looked through the Bible enough and I don't see how you go about doing that. I've got no little Bible verse that instructs me how I hate the sin without hating the sinner. And I also don't feel I understand how Jesus was okay to talk about people in that way. And I just have to leave that up to him, I'm afraid. So part three, hold on. Jesus was sometimes pretty harsh. Yep, he was. I don't really get that. But he was only harsh to the people who were supposedly above him and the people who should have known better. So, here we go. The way you speak about someone when they're not there shows others how you speak about them. Now, these four things then, if you like them, they're yours. Your words betray your heart. But all the way through, the things that you're saying in your life, remember that people only know you by what you do and what you say. And whether we like it or not, as soon as you tell somebody even that you go to church, your words to them become the words of Jesus. So the sort of thing that you would say is perceived as the sort of thing that Jesus would say, because they're not going to go and bother looking it up. So your words betray your heart. Your words are perceived as being from Jesus' heart to anybody that knows that you even come here. No banter, not a rule for life. If you've got a fabulously robust friendship with somebody and you totally understand that it's a game of equals, crack on. But if you're not sure, then there is a massively fine line between banter and bullying. And if other people hear you bantering, then they're hearing Jesus doing that. And please just be careful. At school, we decided it was best just to go, nope, do you know what? We'll save that for when we're out of the building. When we're around the kids, we don't want them to think that we are bullying each other by the things that we're saying. And do sneaky praise. Talk about people behind their backs in positive ways. Stick up for other people. Build people up, especially if people are knocking them down. And then lastly, and genuinely lastly, because I'm just going to show you one more photograph. Here it is again. If you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. Right. Dave.